Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody. This is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie's Friends, another show where we're going to spend the hour learning about a skill set that will come in handy all the time. Anybody who ever attends meetings, plans meetings, organizes agendas, take notes, anything like that, you are going to come away from today with a lot of great, helpful information from our guest, who is Pamela Knoyer. She is a trainer and the founder of Communicate with Class. Her understanding and grasp of the natural nuances of discord in the workplace, coupled with her extensive 20-year background as a professional trainer, coach, and facilitator, are the perfect combination to help us learn how to work our meetings so our meetings can work. This training is going to help you stop starting late and ending even later, hashing and rehashing decisions, getting off track due to unclear focus, and being sabotaged by strong-willed individuals in your meetings. And you will emerge prepared to give your meeting clear direction, run it efficiently and effectively, receive positive feedback from your team and attendees, and retain control despite distractions. So at this time, I'd like to welcome our guest. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Marnie.
I'm so glad you're here. Yeah. It's great to have you. Now, do you want me to call you Pam or Pamela?
Let's go with Pam is fine.
Okay, that's
great. I only use Pamela in public.
Okay, well, nobody's here. It's just you and me.
That's right. It's just you and you, so let's go for it.
Oh, actually, we're so happy that all of you are here with us. And if you haven't already done so, you can download your call notes. Your show notes are either available at Blog Talk Radio or over at Marnie.com. If you click on blog, you'll be able to download the call notes there. So also, if you do happen to miss something that we're saying, the show is archived and you can listen in later. So no worries about that. Well, let's go ahead and dive in. First of all, your first point for us is that there are three main complaints that people make about poorly run meetings. I can think of a lot of complaints people make. So what are the top three?
Well, I can think of a lot of complaints too, Marnie, and that's why I had to figure out what are the ones that keep showing up. And I've been doing this talk enough that I just know what they are. And the first one is that there is not a clearly defined purpose for the meeting. People are like, I am meeting for what and why, and why are we in this room? So that is probably the biggest complaint. And after that one comes the fact that people may not have an agenda when they do have the meeting, or the agenda is so poorly written, or they don't even understand what the agenda is about, that people are just, they're just confused and frustrated. Mm. And the third top complaint is the fact that people are not able to keep dysfunctional behaviors in line.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with the people that are either interrupting or sabotaging the meeting or not participating, just your basic problem behaviors.
Yeah. Well, all those things really bother me. If I go to meetings and any of those are present, it's true. My mind is much busier about how I can solve the problems that I'm facing than what's going on in the meeting. I have to really force myself to stay focused on what we're talking about, because the other things kind of bubble to the surface in our they take over the focus of the meeting.
They do. They get in your way, and then you don't get anything accomplished, and you walk away and you say, do I ever want to go back to that meeting again?
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
Right. let's start with the clear purpose one. How do you go about defining a clear purpose for a meeting?
You know, that's a really, really good question. And I think that one of the biggest challenges is that leaders should not assume, first of all, that everyone automatically understands what the meeting is about. And I think that's usually where the biggest mistake is people think everyone knows what they know. Mm. So if you start them right at the very beginning and say, this is what the meeting's about, I even write it on my agenda. The purpose of the meeting is to come to XYZ decision. The purpose is just for information. I just want to tell you that we're moving and we've been acquisitioned and, you know, I mean, but it's just an informational meeting. Otherwise, people will take on the fact that, well, I need to get in the middle of this and start arguing it, and that's not what the meeting is about. So if they know ahead of time, they know how people can prepare themselves on how to respond. A meeting may be a discussion. We just want to talk about this. We don't know what decision we're going to make. We just want to talk. Or the meeting can be a decision-making meeting. We've got this on the table. We want to make sure that everyone's on the same page, and now we're going to vote. So those are all kinds of different meetings that probably are the most common that people attend.
So and sometimes I think, depending on the agenda and how long the meeting is and how frequently a group meets, all three of those, the need to inform, the need to discuss, and the need to have decisions made could all happen within the same meeting at different points of the agenda.
Absolutely. In fact, if you write an agenda, which we'll probably cover, that's one of the things you want to put in there, is maybe you'll just have a timeline or a line item for your agenda. And on that line item, you'll put discussion, decision, or action, or information. I mean, you'll write what it is that you want, what kind of a result you want from that. It's really nice.
That is great. Is that basically then what causes agendas to go sideways, is by not being extremely clear about what action you want the attendees to take?
Marnie, you're all over it. You are all over it. That's exactly what it is. People, they sit there and they try, for instance, if that agenda item was really meant for information but no one said that, then people try to start discussing it and take action on it. And it wasn't, and then finally the person has to say, that's running the meeting, the facilitator, well, you know, we really wanted to make that decision in 3 months. We're just bringing this up. So there's all this energy now that's been started in the room, and it's very difficult to dissipate it and get people back on track.
I have to tell you that one of the meetings I frequent is just part of my life, and I have to go to these meetings all the time, which is fine. And we get a lot accomplished, but we never have an agenda. I don't run it. I'm the agenda type person, but I don't run this meeting. I just attend it, and we never have an agenda. And I just, having you voice verbalize this now is very interesting to me, because one of the most frustrating things that happens to me is a topic is put on the table, and I think it's for discussion, but many times it's just for information. This is how we're going to do it, but it's not presented in that way. It's presented in the way that is, next we're going to talk about blank. And it catches me by surprise every time. Just having you identify that there are these three different categories, the I'm telling you this for information, I'm telling you this so we can discuss it, or I'm talking about this so we can make a decision today, just knowing that those are those three different types, that's going to help me personally as I attend a meeting, which is really interesting.
Oh, well, I'm glad. And eventually you'll just get to, you know, what's neat and what I appreciate, and you will eventually get to do, is that when you're in the meeting, if the convener of the meeting doesn't really have the agenda, we're still responsible as participants in the meeting to make sure that we get what we want out of that meeting. So you can very simply say to the convener, is this an information item?
Right.
Is this an item we have to make a decision on, or can we discuss this? And
right.
They'll probably get the deer in the headlights look, Marnie.
Yeah.
And look at you and all of a sudden go, oh, you know, I think it's just information.
Right, right.
And the whole room will relax.
Exactly. I just think this just empowers every attendee, as well as helping us as meeting leaders to say, oh, well, no wonder I've been having that particular issue in my meetings, because I haven't been really clearly defining this. Really, really helpful. This is Marnie Swedberg. We're talking today with Pamela Kanoyer. We're going to come back and talk about a few more agenda basics and then move on with some more ways that you can make your meetings work. We'll be right back. Are you a leader, an author or speaker, a mom or Sunday school teacher? Leadership Club is my way of providing encouragement, practical help, and solid God focus to as many people as I possibly can. Together we are learning how to be all that Christ created us to be, in and through His power and presence in our lives. I encourage you to join us at Marnie.com. Have a great day. Hi, this is Marnie. Welcome back to Marnie's Friends. Our friend today is Pamela Knoyer. She is the founder of Communicate with Class. She's a trainer, coach, facilitator. And her focus with us today is about how to make our meetings work, how to plan them in advance and run them, host them in such a way that they really are effective, that people enjoy coming to them, not necessarily because they're fun, but because they are effective. They're a good use of people's time and a good use of our time. We were just before break talking about the need to have clear purpose in your meetings and then an agenda that supports that. So what would be the best thing that somebody could do? They're working on their next agenda. Okay, we have a meeting tomorrow and I'm working on my agenda. What do I need to be doing?
Well, I appreciate you asking this, and it's wonderful that you're even thinking about it today instead of tomorrow.
Right. What a forward thinker.
It's amazing. It's wonderful. So probably the first thing that I would suggest, and this is the worst part about a meeting, is that if you really prepare your agenda ahead of time, which takes some time, it may take you 15, 20 minutes or longer. However, if you put that time into it now, when the meeting happens, it's going to be the most amazing meeting you've ever gone through. So I recommend that you take that time and you at least draft what it is you want, figure out what your purpose is. So that would be your number one thing. Then you're going to get your legend of whether or not this is going to be a decision, a discussion, or information. And you get your agenda items. And here's how I would break this out. If I were writing the agenda, the first thing I would do is an icebreaker. And I'm sure you're going to wonder why I would do an icebreaker. Or maybe, why would you? Why would you if you had one?
I don't usually at the beginning of meetings, no. I don't know why.
You're probably a get down to business, let's get it done, and let's get out of here kind of person.
You think?
I got that real quickly. And why would we do an icebreaker? What a waste of time. You're the perfect person for me to talk to about this. So here's what happens, Marnie. We come into the meeting, and we've been here for, you know, we just came out of, let me see, we've just dropped our kids off at school, or we're thinking about the laundry that, oh, my God, I've got 6 piles loaded up, and I forgot to get this at the store. I mean, you know, we're on our shopping list, and it's going through our head. And so we sit down in a meeting, and guess where we are? We're somewhere
back
else.
There still. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. So part of the idea of the icebreaker is to have something that brings everybody present and into the meeting at the same time. That's all it is. And so it can be as simple as, now you can have something fun where some people like the fun stuff, like, you know, what is the meaning of your name? What's the meaning of your first name, last name? But that will actually bring everybody together, and that's going to help you get your chatterers and your talkers. It's going to help them break through the ice, because if you have a chatterer or a talker, a people person, they're going to have to talk about something besides the agenda items. So you just get it out of the way. You take care of those people right up front, and you give them an opportunity to talk. It also brings them to the meeting and connecting with the people that are in the room and disconnecting from the people that they just left.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really helpful to focus people on your meeting. Now, see, I know you're focused and you're already ready to go. That doesn't mean that everybody else in the room is.
Now, if you're not going to do a fun icebreaker, what other options are there?
Then the next thing is, tell me something that you got from the last meeting that really meant a lot, or that will really bring you here today, or what is your primary reason for wanting to meet today? Just kind of getting people to get into the meeting. However you do a round robin, you go around the room, or, you know, you have people share with the person next to them, depending on how big the meeting is. So you get people communicating, and then you bring their head into the meeting. That's all you're doing. Hmm. And you're also allowing your people to release that people tension. They have to connect, and this allows them to connect without sort of taking over the meeting and starting to talk about other things that don't mean anything to the meeting.
Hmm. Very interesting. I wouldn't have ever thought of it for a meeting. I mean, I do it all the time at events. Whenever I plan events, I always do that. But meetings a lot of times are, 30 minutes or whatever, and I wouldn't have thought of it. But, of course, it just takes a minute or two to do this, and I can see that. I can see that it would be very effective. Huh, interesting. Okay, so let's move on to ground rules then. How do you set ground rules? What are they?
Oh, hold on, Marnie. Can I just back up just a little bit?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
One other thing on the agenda. When you're writing your items, the things that you want, one of the biggest things that I would do is you want to get people have the most energy when they come into the meeting. So you want to have your heavies up front unless you've got an item that you can mark off like in 30 seconds or less. So if it's a heavy item, they have to make a decision, it's going to be a lot of discussion. You want to get their energy up front. So I'm just suggesting where you put that. Often people leave that at the end of the agenda, and people are worn out, and then it has to move to the next time, and then they walk away feeling like nothing happens. You want to give them some accomplishment in the meeting.
Hmm. Interesting.
So then I'm ready for ground rules. Is that
okay? All right. Forward.
All right. Moving forward. So once we have the once you have your agenda written out, the next thing you do when you are meeting with people is I like to have posted ground rules, and they can either be big and hung on the wall that you bring back every time. They can be on your agenda somewhere. However, if you set up ground rules, this is how we start to deal with the dysfunctional behaviors. Is the ground rule is you share maybe. I mean, I'm just making up ground rules. It depends on your group. Well, let's say you have a group of people who constantly, one person is always talking and sort of over-talking other people. So you can very politely set up a ground rule that says you share and then we wait for everybody else to share before you share again. And sometimes that's really helpful in meetings. Sometimes that wouldn't work at all. So you just kind of have to gauge your group. Another ground rule may be something like we share for 1 minute at a time and no longer, just to keep the meeting going and everybody has a time limit. And I have fun things, like I'll have an egg timer there, and so somebody else sets the timer in the room and they'll flip it over, and so it becomes everybody's watching the timer and not some person telling them time, because then they get their feelings hurt. So you figure out, but you write the ground rules according to the problems that typically may come up in that meeting. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And the more rules you set up, which you don't want a lot, probably four, the more you set up exactly what the problems are that you anticipate or some of the things that you want to make sure don't happen, then the easier your meeting goes. And I set up ground rules with the whole group. So I would open it up and say, okay, if you're going to start the ground rules, let's see some ground rules, some things that we can run this meeting by that will help us stay on time and on track. Anybody have any ideas? Trust me, somebody's going to pop out and say, we need to limit our time to 1 minute because of that talker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if the rest of the room goes, oh, that's great, then all of a sudden you have consensus.
Sure.
And you have agreement. And now guess who's going to monitor the ground rules?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely everybody. The whole
Well, it was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting when you were first describing this. I was thinking, of course, as the leader, when you just give people rules, a set of rules like that, a lot of people, there's backlash, of course, leadership backlash. But the way that you've just described doing it, having the group participate in the rule making, makes a lot more sense. Avoids that whole thing.
As soon as you get that buy-in, now all of a sudden you have the whole room, they're not only going to buy into the ground rules and obey them, they're also going to monitor them. and make sure that they happen. So now the leader is basically the convener of the meeting and not necessarily having to, quote-unquote, police it.
Mm-hmm.
It's group policed, which is really, really nice.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, that you know, we were talking here about maybe the over-talker, the person who talks too much. How do you engage the people who are tend to be more quiet, just the listeners?
You know, what I do with the quiet listeners, and this is what I like to say, is that we have two kinds of people in a meeting. One is the slow cookers. So you can just imagine the crock pot, and you put all that food in there, and 6 hours later it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the slow cookers are the ones that usually don't, quote-unquote, participate in a meeting. They observe. They're not really the jumper-outers. And then there's the people that I call the, you know, I think of those old coffee pots with the little bubble lid that percolated. So you could always hear the coffee pot perking. And they have, and the way they think and process is that it's out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So some right. people are out loud thinkers and some people are slow cookers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you get those two in the same room, guess who's going to take over the meeting?
Right.
Yeah. And so the slow cookers always get left out. And what I've learned is that I let it go for a little bit, you know, kind of let your percolators just keep perking and talking and popping and bubbling. And then all of a sudden I'll take the lid off one of the slow cookers and say, gosh, Elaine, I have not heard from you about this subject. Mm-hmm. And I'm just seeing from the way you're shifting that you probably have something to say. And Elaine will go, as a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing. So what you do is you just watch them, and you just watch until they're ready to take the lid off. Very seldom do they take the lid off themselves unless it's really passionate for them. And if you do that, you sort of help them, and you make it safe for them because you're going to clear the way. Mm-hmm. If there's been arguing or drama in the meeting, then it may not be a good time to take the lid off the slow cooker because they need to have safety before they're going to participate.
Hmm. I always think of the slow cookers as retro thinkers versus the verbal thinkers. The slow cooker a lot of times will the next day have a lot to say about that meeting.
Right,
but in the meeting itself, they're really absorbing it all and they really want to give it time to marinate and to decide, which flavors should go together and what needs to be removed, and they really do come at it much differently. But I love the idea of watching body language and inviting, inviting participation to take the lid off is such a good way to describe that.
Well, and you know, Marnie, it's true. They're not going to feel like they've really got something to contribute maybe until a day later, which is why you don't want to make quick decisions in a meeting.
Hmm.
Because unless you prepare people that we will make a decision in this meeting today about mm-hmm. this topic, and you prepare them ahead of time, because that's just not fair to the slow cookers. They have to have process time. And, you know, what I say, what I love about it is when you do take the lid off, you get diamonds. It's amazing
mm-hmm.
what comes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it just smells like this perfect broth and everything all comes together.
Yeah.
It's just that they're not gonna show it until it's all come together for them.
Hmm. We are going to take a little break and come right back with our guest, Pamela Knoyer, about talk a little bit about parking lots and about dealing with problems. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, ladies, who in your circle of friends would be an awesome speaker for local church women's teas, scrapbooking retreats, and stuff like that? We all have friends who are great speakers, but hardly anyone knows they exist. Right now, send a message to your speaker friend and encourage her to register at womenspeakers.com, the largest online Christian women's speakers directory in the world. There are free and paid listings available, and you know what? Your friend is going to love you for telling her about womenspeakers.com. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Marnie's Friends. Excited to have you here with us today. We're talking about meetings And meetings can really be a drag. If you get into a long, boring meeting, some people literally fall asleep. Some people get up and leave, but sometimes you just have to sit through it. The goal today is to help you to never have to run a meeting like that again and to help you know how to survive better in a meeting like that. Our guest today is Pamela Knoyer. She is a professional trainer, coach, and facilitator. She has the website that she has is communicatewithclass.com, and so you can go over there and visit her at her website. But right now we're going to talk a little bit about parking lots. And I actually love this concept. So go ahead and tell everybody what a parking lot is in a meeting.
Thank you, Marnie. Often when we're in the middle of a meeting, somebody will come up and say, oh, but we forgot about this. Or they'll say, you know, all of a sudden they'll just bring up this subject that came out of the blue, and everyone's like, yeah, we really do need to talk about that. In a meeting that's not well organized, and a meeting convener that is not prepared for this will all of a sudden find themselves on a rabbit trail. And now they're taking care of colors for whatever, and they're figuring out what they should feed somebody that's coming into town that they hadn't even, it wasn't even on the agenda. And now they're 45 minutes into their meeting, they've got 15 minutes left and 6 items left. Hmm. So the idea of a parking lot is you look at the item that comes up and say, when somebody brings it up off that it was not on the agenda, okay, we have this item that just came up. We have these 6 items that are left on the agenda. Does anyone feel that this item needs to overshadow the items that we already have on the agenda? And if so, you know, if the whole room goes, oh, no, we really need to take care of this, then you say, what item should we take off the agenda? And how much time do you think it will take? So you become, what you're doing is you're getting buy-in from the group, and everyone is deciding what to move from the agenda, or if the new item that came up just goes to the parking lot. We park it, and then we're going to put it in the next agenda or decide when it needs to be brought up. So that way we have order, and people don't feel like they've been hit sideways, because remember, those slow cookers, when you bring something up and they weren't prepared for it, it's kind of like hitting them in the head and then say, now get up. You're okay, because they're not. So it's really important to honor everyone that's in a meeting, and this is a very respectful way to do that, is to bring up the parking lot.
I think a few years ago I wrote a book called Retreats Made Easy. And in there, I focus attention on unmet expectations, because the number one reason for people getting frustrated and not enjoying something to the full amount that they could is because their expectations were not met. And that sounds like it's the same principle that's going on in meetings, is that if you set the expectations correctly and you fulfill what the expectations are, and the only time you deviate from that is when it's a group consensus that, yes, this is where we have to go right now because of this new information brought to light, it just reduces the amount of pain that everybody feels with this, you know, new direction now, this change.
Absolutely, Marnie. You're so right. It reduces the pain, the tension. It stops the sabotage outside the meeting, which happens very easily.
Mm.
And you start to get positive feedback back from your team about, wow, that was cool. Loved how we did that. I mean, they just feel like they feel accomplishment. Mm. And there are a lot of people who go to meetings that they go to meetings because they want to accomplish something. And they need to walk away feeling like something happened for them.
Mm. Now, let's move on to, sometimes there's people or there's circumstances that are problematic. You're in the middle of a meeting, and you know, somebody just starts rolling their eyes, or maybe the same person just heavy sighs all the way through, you know, or everything you bring up, there's an arguer who just has to argue everything you say. What do you do with that? Do you just stop dead still and make a new ground rule? I think we're going to make a new rule. No deep sighs allowed.
You know, what's interesting, and I totally agree with that. I mean, I have at times stopped meetings and made new ground rules. I have.
Okay.
I mean, when it gets that bad, I do. However, for the most part, I work really hard, and that's why I'm saying you put this time in up front, it really pays for itself in the end. Mm-hmm. What are the behaviors that I commonly see in this meeting? And if you know that you've got a sire and an eye roller, then right away you're going to make sure that you have some kind of a ground rule that says respectful behavior, which includes, positive body language is, basically you're saying this is what we will have or what we will not have, but you're setting it up so that you don't have to deal with those behaviors. Now, if they do come up, then you have a couple of options, and one is, especially let's just hit the eye roller and the sire. So, Joe, your body language is indicating that you're very frustrated about this. Can you please reposition what you have to say, reframe what you have to say in a way that we can actually work with it?
Hmm.
I mean, you just want to, you call it out in a very pleasant way and ask him to reframe what he has to say or what his thinking is. And if you set it up in the right way, you're asking him, you're setting the ground rules right then and there, the guidelines. This is how I want you to answer me. And if you've got control of your meeting, which ground rules are all about getting control of your meeting, having a really strong agenda, that's going to give you control of your meeting. And then not being afraid to very gently confront, and I'm talking gentle, just lovingly, because, if we get mad and say, Joe, that's it, I'm so tired of your eye rolling, it's just going to be like, he'll just go, he'll just go.
And he'll do a deep sigh.
Yeah, it's like, well, and you know what else he'll do? He'll come at you. He'll argue. This is what he's looking for anyway. He's looking for a fight. So the idea here is to find generous, gentle, loving ways to move people on and honor them because they're feeling like a value has been crossed for them. And sometimes it's just allowing them the space to say, well, I don't understand. We've gone through this 5 times.
Right.
Why are we doing it again? And if you get them to reframe it differently, or here's what will happen too, is I'll have somebody just do the blurt. We've done this 5 times already. I don't see what the point is, and so they do the blurt. And I would come back and say, so what I'm hearing you say is, and then I reframe it so the rest of the room can actually participate.
Mm.
Because if we keep it where that person just left it, we've got negative energy in the room, and it's going to cause people to get riffed and ruffled. And now they're going to sabotage either in the meeting or they're going to leave the meeting and sabotage. So the idea here is to find a way to bring it out. So you're going to gently bring that elephant out in the room and say, so what I'm really hearing you say is that you haven't really sensed that we've come to a conclusion on this issue. Well, yeah, that's what I said. Okay, so what are some options that would be helpful to you? And you just keep them until they get it under control. You're helping them get that themselves under control and focus them on positive resolution instead of frustration.
Another one that comes up really frequently is a person who just routinely comes late. Everybody else is there on time, but this one or these two people are always, always late. What is the type of a response that you've seen in that situation that can actually help?
Several.
Good.
Several. Good question. And, it's funny because I am one of those late people. If it's not urgent, then I may not always be on time for those meetings. And I get that, so I know what works.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm left out, for instance, maybe the agenda's there and people are discussing something. I come in and I'm like, well, and I start asking them to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
I only have to be told one time, I'm sorry, we discussed that. You're welcome to participate in the next item on the agenda. I'm so sorry we missed you on that, but we can't go back over that. And move on.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, ooh, aha. And, of course, I'm going to be mad and I'm going to be upset. But, who am I really mad at? Me. Because I messed up and I should have been there on time. And that is when the meeting, and when they get it that you're not going to come back and feed them for being late unless they've given you a good reason why they're going to be late, eventually they'll start to figure out that they need to be on time for this meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really we enable, and that's because we love people, you know, and that's a good thing. It's just if you want a behavior to stop, you have to stop enabling that behavior. And
that's so fascinating because I think that the natural tendency, at least for and we have a couple businesses, actually three different groups of people that we work with in our businesses. And what you want to do is you just want to wait for that person. You know they're going to be there in about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But all that does is it just reinforces the behavior.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Now they know they can always be 5 minutes late.
Mm-hmm. Never miss a beat.
Yeah, and they'll consistently be 5 minutes late, so they're on time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
So it's not that. It has to do with, you know, some people, their way of respecting people is time.
Mm-hmm.
Other people's way of respecting people is staying in the conversation and staying present, which means the time goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
So it really has to do with the style difference, the fact that people honor one another a little bit differently, and they miss sometimes the importance to the whole group because of their value of maybe taking care of a problem or, you know, somebody was crying. However, when it becomes consistent, then they're in a habit of still enabling. So
mm-hmm.
you have to find a loving way to cut it off, and it can
mm-hmm.
be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is Marnie Swedberg. We're visiting today with Pamela Knoyer. She is a professional trainer, coach, and facilitator. Actually, Pamela, you do some personal coaching too, don't you? If somebody is listening and they're like, but you don't know my group. If you knew my group, you wouldn't be saying it's so easy to do this stuff. You actually have something called laser coaching just for somebody like that, don't you?
I do. Just that one-time problem solving, let's get in, get her done. Get it out. And
that's so cool. If you have not done so yet already, download the call notes either at Blog Talk Radio or at Marnie.com, the blog over there. And there is actually a special offer that you have for people who need a little extra help, maybe some one-on-one. Like, someone might call you and say, let me describe to you what's happening in my meeting. And you can, like a doctor, a surgeon, you can go in and you can say, tell me a few more questions. Question answers here, and I can really help you with that. If somebody wanted to do that with you and they sent you an email and put meetings in the subject line, you said you would give them a special offer. What was that?
I will. Normally, my 45-minute coaching session is $150. And if you send the email with meetings in the subject line for, you know, I will give it for $99. So as long as I know that you've been on the show with Marnie, you get the deal. Absolutely. Any friend of Marnie's a friend of mine.
Oh, I love it, love it, love it. Okay, we're going to take a little break and come back and talk a little bit about groupthink. Don't go away. We're coming right back with Pamela.
Are you spending too much time at Twitter or frittering away your day at Facebook? Maybe you think you should get involved in social networking but just don't know how. Either way, my same social networking principles can help you just like they helped me to be able to interact with my thousands of followers at several different sites in just 15 minutes a day. Check it out at Marnie.com. Sane social networking success in 15 minutes a day.
Well, hi, it's Marnie. Welcome back. We're talking today about sane meetings instead of insane meetings or insanity in meetings. We want to accomplish as much as we can in a very structured way that allows people to relax, to enjoy, to participate, to really help in the decisions that need to be made, to understand the decisions that have been made, and to provide the kind of input that management needs to make future decisions. And Pamela Knoyer is our guest today. Her website is communicatewithclass.com. You can visit her over there. Just before break, we were talking about dealing with problems. And one of the things that happens in meetings sometimes is called groupthink. So, Pamela, why don't you define that for us and help us understand how to deal with it or prevent it if we need to.
Well, thank you. Yes, you actually do want to prevent groupthink. And what that usually is, Marnie, is someone is in a position of authority, and when they come into the room and they work with the meeting, everyone just does whatever they say. No one argues the point. No one brings up discussion points. Everyone just allows the meeting to go. Whatever that person says, everyone falls in place. And what happens is that people are intimidated. They're feeling like if I do say something, it's going to come back, fall back on me and my job. It's not going to work for me at all. And so it actually stops the creativity, which is the whole purpose of a meeting in most times in the first place. If it's information, it doesn't matter because it should be groupthink. But when it comes to discussion, you want people to discuss. And it's a very common thing in our country right now because there is a lot of bullying in the workplace, and this is where it shows up, that you know that it's happening is in meetings when it's groupthink happens.
So when you're saying groupthink, you're basically identifying that the group has chosen to be quiet.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, it's a really odd term. I would have never called it groupthink.
No.
What
interesting.
It is.
Hmm.
And I've researched it quite a bit, and it's definitely a very toxic thing that happens in meetings.
Hmm.
Now, there are some ways to get around it. Are you interested in maybe listening to one or two?
Oh, yeah. Tell us.
I'm kidding you. We all are. It's like, oh, yeah. Am I a bully? Is it because my group isn't responding? So one of the ways to do that is to let people vote or write something in writing or type it so that no one really sees who it was or what it was. Maybe they just check a box.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can get people to participate in a way that they're not going to know, I know that check mark.
Right.
John had a red pen, you know. You want it to really be safe as possible. So part of that is to do it in writing. Another one is to ask people to send out anonymous surveys. Make sure that they can... It doesn't come from their email address. It's typed. It's deposited in a box. I mean, it really is important to give people safety, and there is clearly not safety when groupthink comes up.
Hmm.
You can also bring in an outside facilitator, and often they can sense what's going on, and it doesn't take them very long at all to say, okay, we've got groupthink going on. Let's find some ways to rework this. And maybe they'll interview a few people without, you know, it has to be set up so that it's so safe that if they do interview someone, they don't say, well, let me tell you what Jane just said about you. You know, then it's over. It's over. Jane just lost her job. So it's really an interesting phenomenon in our country right now.
Now, during this interview, Pamela, two times you have focused our attention onto the necessity of safety in meetings. The first time we were talking about slow cookers, and you talked about how they have to feel safe if they're going to share their thoughts right there on the spot. They are simply not going to share their thoughts until they've thought them out clearly for days or whatever, unless they feel safe. And now here... This is almost like a mushroomed effect where you've got the entire group, even your chatterers, you've got them feeling unsafe in the meeting. And typically, are you gonna just kind of say then, that happens when you've got such a strong leader that people underneath this leader really don't feel safe in saying, I have an idea or an opinion other than yours?
Absolutely, that's what happens.
Hmm.
And Marnie, I'm just so blessed that you picked up the importance of safety. It's what I do. When I get into groups, I have to balance, and that is what the convener and the facilitator of the meeting is supposed to do, is balance the weight of the room. So if you've got people that are really strong and opinionated and you have people who want to give their opinions, however, they don't feel safe enough to do that, maybe they're afraid of repercussions. Maybe they just don't feel as articulate. Maybe they're new, and so they're not sure about the group yet. I mean, whatever happens, because the pecking order in a chicken coop happens in meetings all the time. So it's the facilitator, the convener's job, is to keep it safe and to keep it balanced throughout the room.
If you come into a situation then as a coach, you come in and you are not informed ahead of time that this is happening, and you notice that this groupthink, this feeling of insecurity on the part of the meeting attendees is just, it's a huge issue. Where do you begin to either tear it down or rebuild something? What is it actually that your goal is in that situation?
Well, my goal truly, and anyone's, I would hope would be, is to get people to actually help the group get back together and get to a healthy place. And it does start with the leadership. If the leadership, if you know, and I just say this so respectfully, I had a past client brought me in, and he said, "I want you to fix them."
Yeah.
And he pointed to his management team. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, you know, I'm hired, and I don't know anything about what's going on, so I go right in to start to fix them. Well, it doesn't take me 5 minutes, really, to sit with them to realize that he sent me in the wrong direction. I needed to work with him. And that was a big lesson to me when I first started consulting, and I realized that from this point forward, I always insist that I work with the leadership.
Right.
And I help that leadership see how they are coming across and how other people are taking them and maybe some other ways to refocus or rethink the way that they're going to approach a situation or a topic.
Mm.
And that's why it becomes coaching, because it's not an overnight fix. If you're a strong personality, you're going to stay a strong personality. And if you're going to be, a type A, and you're going to move into a meeting, you're just going to blow the room away, well, that's not going to go away in one session. It just takes time.
Hmm. Several years ago, a fellow Minnesotan wrote a book. Her name is Evelyn Christensen, and she wrote a book called Lord Change Me. And in it, she talks about how usually, before God intervenes and changes other people, he's going to require us to make some changes in our own lives. And I remember being so irritated by the book, because it was always going to have to be me doing the changing, and it just bothered me. But at some point, I embraced the reality that I didn't really actually have that much changing to do. And that it was oftentimes going to come down to me, and that I had to look at what I was doing that was producing the results that were in my face and that I didn't like. And so many times a coach has really helped me to be able to fully embrace that reality, as well as to identify, you know, what are some of the things that I can do right here, right now, today, and in the future days that will make a difference. We're visiting today with Pamela Quinner. We're going to take a little break and come back and talk about record keeping. What's the best way to take notes and keep records in meetings? We'll be right back.
Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select free updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's free updates over at Marnie.com.
Hi, thank you for joining us at Marnie's Friends today. Our guest today is Pamela Quinner, and she is doing a fantastic job at helping us understand how we can work our meetings so our meetings work. I think earlier in the show, Pamela, you shared something that I will not soon forget. I'm sure I will incorporate it immediately and always from now on, which is that during a meeting, there can be three different purposes, and maybe all three in each meeting, but at least one for the meeting. You come together just to talk, to discuss things, to get ideas, to look at different angles, or you come together to inform the attendees of a decision that has been made, or you come together to actually make a decision as a group. And identifying which of those three things are happening right now can make a tremendous difference in how the attendees feel about both their responsibility in the meeting and how the meeting goes. And we've covered so much ground. If you're just joining us now, we're nearing the end of the hour here, but just know you need to go back and listen to this entire archive with Pamela. And you can also get more information from her over at her website, communicatewithclass.com. Well, let's go ahead, Pamela, and talk about number seven here, record keeping. What's the best way to record the important decisions that we make in meetings?
Well, Marnie, it's a fun job being the record keeper, because you get to be the busy one in the meeting and interrupt the meeting at any time to get information. Everyone else has to be quiet and obey the rules, whatever they were. So you can find fun ways to be record keeping. Obviously, the idea of the record keeping is to keep a history of what's happened and to keep track of the decisions that were made. Now, if you follow Robert's Rules of Order, which is a very formal way of keeping records in the meeting, it will tell you from here to kingdom come how to write out your meeting, how to do your record keeping, etc. If you want a note taker, who is someone who's just sort of keeping tabs on what happens, for me the most important pieces that need to be there is who attended, the topics that were discussed, any decisions that were made or actions that need to be taken, and anything that's in the parking lot, obviously, that needs to move on, so that you've got a record of where to go next. So it's not like, oh, Joe said that Mary should never do this again, and
right.
Ed said, you just don't need to record that. You just need, okay, what was the main decision, and let's move on. Now, when you decide what the decision was, an action that is to be taken, you want a description of the action to be taken. You want to know who accepted that action. So let's say that, Marnie, you're going to put on an event, and you have five people in the room that you're having help you set up this event, and you say, okay, Jaylene, I'd like you to be in charge of registration. So it's going to say Jaylene is in charge of registration. And what Jaylene, she has some tick-off items to do. So she's going to get the database ready. She's going to, check your financial links. She's going to contact so-and-so. She's got four or five marching orders to do. All of that is written down in your notes so that you have, A, a record of it, and, B, when you're ready to send those notes out, now Jaylene knows her marching orders in case she didn't write them all down.
Yeah.
And the best place to write these, this is what I love to do, is if you have a whiteboard or a chart or ideally a laptop with a projector so people can see what's written, then they're not going to come back and question, did you get this or what about that? All the decisions are going to be visual so everyone can see them. That is my ideal way to take notes in a meeting.
Do many meetings anymore use official, Robert's Rules? Is that common?
It's actually quite common.
Is it? Okay.
Yes. I was at a women's, it's like a Women's League of Voters or something. Anyway, they went through Robert's Rules.
Okay.
I also attended several meetings, and it's just amazing because usually with Robert's Rules, you actually have somebody who literally holds the rule book and lets people know whether or not how they're supposed to vote on an action, how it's supposed
mm-hmm.
to happen,
et
cetera. And so you have a consultant there at all times whose just sole responsibility is to make sure the meeting runs in order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't been in one for several years, but I remember. I remember being in them. I wasn't sure if it was still being used. It is. That's interesting. That's interesting. If most of the meetings that I'm in have a much more casual feel to them, but we still do take votes. We still do want people to identify, are you for this or against this? What are your concerns with this? And if we have, more than just a hesitance on somebody's part or on several people's part, we need to go back to the drawing board and not just run over them.
Yes, absolutely. It's finding ways to honor everyone in the group. And I think that what you said about not running over people I just really appreciate the fact that you're bringing up the fact of honoring people in the group. And having it organized and laid out in a way like this really helps people. They appreciate it. It may be a little bit of work up front. However, if you do it right, it really pays off in the end.
I think that the honor part, too, what I've found in group meetings, especially if you have the same team working with you for several years or even for several months, you could notice this. There will typically be a person who is as a fast-moving person, I would have tend to call them, you know, the feet draggers. They're the ones that always have too many questions. They just don't want to take forever to make a decision. But, you know, if you will take the time to pick their brain and to really figure out what about this is causing you pain, what is causing you concern, why can't you say yes to this quite yet, they have amazing insights that nobody else thought of.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's going back to your slow cookers, Marnie.
Mm-hmm.
And taking the lid off and checking in with them, because they'll always come up with something that we hadn't thought about.
Mm.
And the people that charge through, just like what you were talking about, generally they're the percolators, and they talk. When they're talking, they're thinking. That's how they process, is out loud talking.
Verbal thinkers, yeah.
Yep. And so while they're doing that, they're just sort of forming, and other people get put off by that, not recognizing that's how they process. That's how they get to that conclusion. So it's learning that it's okay for that person to percolate and it's okay for this person to slow cook. It's just that there's a time when all of a sudden all bets are off and we need to check in with everybody equally.
Mm.
And it's finding ways to set it up in your agenda or laying it out in such a way in your meeting so that people have time before they make the decision. And people feel like they can say what they need to say without being run over.
And a lot of that is just in the establishment of routines also. If you always, like for us, we typically approach almost every item in the same way. We have an introduction, a discussion, a feedback time, and then a final consensus, upon which, if there's still too much discussion, we either go back or we put it in the parking lot. Come back to another time.
That's beautiful.
Well, and people really get the hang of that. It's not like, I wonder how we're going to do it this time. You know?
Yes, consistency is huge, Marnie.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It sounds like you actually have some pretty productive meetings.
Oh, we do. Meetings are awesome. If you can run a good meeting, you come out, everybody comes out so much better equipped to do their job and to make the corporation successful or the organization, whatever you're working in.
Oh, absolutely. And I can tell that you put your heart and soul into making sure that is taken care of. And that's an amazing way to run a meeting.
Mm. Now, Pamela, we are nearing the end of our time here. What's an all-encompassing tip that you can leave us about running effective meetings?
Oh, boy. You know, probably my biggest thing is preparation. If you're prepared for the meeting, then you've thought everything through. You've thought about the behaviors that are going to show up, what people are going to say, how they might react. If you are prepared in your mind, you'll be able to handle anything. If you walk into the meeting, you're rushed, you sit down, and you go, oh, man, I haven't even thought of an agenda. So what do we need to talk about?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's gone. It's absolutely gone. So if I were to say an all-encompassing, what is the biggest thing you could ever do for your meetings is to be prepared.
Mm.
And I...
Yeah. Well, it's so true. It's so true that coming in with an agenda that's been thought out, even the order of the items on the agenda can make such a difference in the flow of the meeting, because you can batch things that are of similar type and nature. What if you really didn't have that time? You have a meeting and you really did not have time. Very quickly, what would you suggest?
I would sit everybody, obviously everybody sitting down and say, okay, here's what happened. I was not able to get to the agenda. I profusely apologize, and here's what we need to do. And then you have the people set the agenda right then and there in the meeting before you start.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And you just get the group together, and they dogpile.
And they can even vote on which to do first if there's too many. Cool. Mm-hmm. Great
there's
idea.
Always a way. There's
great
always
idea.
A way.
Well, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I have been visiting today with Pamela Knoyer. Thank you so much, Pam, for being here. What fun. This has just been a jam-packed information. So, so helpful. If you guys missed it, you need to listen to the archive. And afterwards, be sure to go visit Pam at communicatewithclass.com. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day now. Bye-bye.
Thanks.